ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय मैत्रेय उवाच इत्युद्धारथम् अकारण्य भगवान् नारदस्तदा प्रीतप्रत्याहतम् बालम् सद्वाक्यम् अनुकम्पय इत्युद्धारथम् अकारण्य भगवान् नारदस्तदा प्रीतप्रत्याहतम् भावम् सद्वाक्यम् अनुकम्पय Maitreya uvacha. The great sage Maitreya continued. Iti, thus, udharatam, being spoken. Akarnya, hearing. Bhagavan Naradaha, the great personality Narada. Tada, thereupon. Pritaha, being pleased. Pratyaha, replied. Tam, him. Balam, the boy. Satvakyam, good advice. Anukampaya, being compassionate. The great sage Maitreya continued. The great personality, Narada Muni, upon hearing the words of Dhruva Maharaj, became very compassionate toward him. And in order to show him his causeless mercy, he gave him the following expert advice. Short purport. Since the great sage Narada is the foremost spiritual master, naturally, his only activity is to bestow the greatest benefit upon whomever he meets. Dhruva Maharaj, however, was a child, and so his demand was also that of a playful child. Since the great sage became compassionate toward him, still, the great sage became compassionate toward him, and for his welfare he spoke the following verses. And we're going to read the first of those verses. Text 40. The great sage Narada told Dhruva Maharaj, the instruction given by your mother Suniti to follow the path of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is just suitable for you. You should therefore completely absorb yourself in devotional service to the Lord. Report. Dhruva Maharaj's demand was to achieve an abode even greater than Lord Brahma's. Within this universe, Lord Brahma is supposed to be in the most exalted position, for he is the chief of all the demigods, but Dhruva Maharaj wanted a realm beyond this. Therefore, his desire was not to be fulfilled by worshipping any demigod. As described in Bhagavad Gita, the benedictions offered by the demigods are all temporary. Therefore, Narada Muni asked Dhruva Maharaj to follow the path recommended by his mother to worship Krishna, Vasudeva. When Krishna offers anything, it is beyond the expectation of the devotee. Both Suniti and Narada Muni knew that the demand of Dhruva Maharaj was impossible for any demigod to fulfill, and therefore both of them recommended following the process of devotional service to Lord Krishna. Paragraph. Narada Muni is referred to here as Bhagavan, also in the previous verse, because he can bless any person just as the Supreme Personality of Godhead can. He was very pleased with Dhruva Maharaj, and he could have at once personally given whatever he wanted. But that is not the duty of the spiritual master. His duty is to engage the disciple in proper devotional service as prescribed in the Shastras. Krishna was similarly present before Arjuna, and even though Krishna could have given him all facilities for victory over the opposing party without a fight, Krishna did not do so. Instead, he asked Arjuna to fight. In the same way, Narada Muni asked Dhruva Maharaj to undergo devotional discipline in order to achieve the desired result. We'll go back a little bit. A parallel between this, what Narada did when he met Dhruva, is what Narada did when he met the Haryashvas. The Haryashvas were the 10,000 sons of Daksha. And circumstance was quite different. Daksha, they left home, they left the palace, but on the order of his father, or their father, to assist Daksha in the purpose of creating good praja to populate the world with good citizens, qualified persons. So in order to prepare themselves for that, they went to the area, my memory is right, Narayana Saras. It's a northwestern part of India where the river Sindhu enters into the ocean. And at the time, it was known as a place for sadhus to go and elevate themselves and purify themselves by proper processes. So the Haryashvas went there. And they were received by Narada. And Narada didn't right away begin instructing them in devotional service. He first examined them. He examined them in a different way than we find here. What he did was he provided an enigmatic little riddle and wanted to see if they could understand the riddle. And right away they could understand the riddle. The riddle was about the material world and the distinction between the material world and the spiritual world, and that they should be not interested in the material world. It was a riddle. And they understood it. So because their intelligence was very clear and their senses were controlled, he then understood these young men are fit candidates for devotional service, and so he engaged them in devotional service. So the similarly part is here, Dhruva is just a small boy. So Narada examined him, and he examined him with giving him an obstacle. He examined him with giving him another option to follow. He was testing his determination, his real interest in Vishnu, his qualities. Once he understood his qualities, now he's beginning to speak. This is a very suitable direction for you to engage in exclusive devotional service. I'm making the emphasis that Narada saw Dhruva's quality, that he was a fit recipient. What Prabhupada is amplifying in the purport is that the nature of what Dhruva was asking for, his sankalpa, his intention, could only possibly be achieved by devotional service. And that is that it wasn't something limited and temporary. Antavattu palam te sham, in the language of Bhagavad Gita, that the worship of the demigods is suitable for those who want something limited and temporary. Limited and temporary. Temporary is time. Within, it comes into being and it goes out of being. Those who want those things, demigods are good places to go because they are also limited and temporary and they can't deliver something beyond that which is limited and temporary. But what Dhruva wanted was beyond the limited and temporary. It was beyond the topmost personality in this cold of the creation. He wanted that. Who knows if he even understood what that was? It's not clear. Maybe he did. Maybe he had a childlike idea of what that is. And as Prabhupada is saying in the purport that we chanted, he was a child, and as a child, his demand was also that of a playful child. Prabhupada gives the example. Supposing a small child sees the moon, and he says, "Mommy, Mommy, I want the moon, I want the moon." And Mommy says, "You can't have the moon. I want the moon, I want the moon." Enough times that, you know, okay. And as a deception or a pacifier, she gives the child a mirror. And he looks at the mirror and, "See, there's the moon right in your hand." The moon's not in his hand. It's a reflection of the moon upon a mirror that's in his hand. But the child becomes pacified. Oh. This is different. This is a playful child wanting something that's beyond his capacity. It's impossible. Who can rule the spiritual planets? Krishna can rule the spiritual planets. But Krishna can do anything, so he can give Dhruva a post of ruling the spiritual, one at least, a spiritual planet. So how is the impossible become possible? By the mercy of one who is beyond the impossible. So Narada made that arrangement, or he is suggesting the means, or it's even more specifically, he's supporting the means recommended by his mother, the means of devotional service to Vasudeva. This is specific in the verse, the Sanskrit, Bhagavan Vasudevas Tam. Bhaja tam pravanatmanaha. So Vasudev has different meanings. A direct meaning is Vasudev is the son of Vasudev. Vasudeva, the father, Vasudeva, the son. So Vasudeva is Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, son of Vasudeva, Devaki and Vasudeva. Vasudeva means all-pervading. It's another meaning, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, so the impersonalists like that meaning. Bahunam, Janmanam, Mante, Gyanavan, Mam, Pravajate. Vasudeva Sarvamiti, the all-pervasive is everything. Yes. Because Krishna is all-pervasive. He's all-pervasive in many different ways. He's all-pervasive. His energies are everywhere. He expands himself everywhere. His presence is felt everywhere. But, you know, you just have to edit out the fact that Krishna is the source of everything. There's that which is everywhere has a source, and Krishna is the source. Oh, there's everything, and then there's the source of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhavo. Aham, first person singular. Not third person singular. It. As in the Shruti mantras, saha. That. This is aham. First person singular. Krishna is the source of everything, and everything that exists is him or his, one or the other. Just like in the, excuse me for a little philosophy this morning, but the verse, the first of the Chaturshloki verses in the Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 9, is Aham Evasam Evagre. In the beginning of creation, I alone exist. During the period of cosmic manifestation, I alone exist. After cosmic annihilation, guess, I alone exist. That's Vasudeva. Krishna is everything. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Back to Narada. Narada is not an impersonalist. He wasn't recommending that Dhruva become an impersonalist to worship the impersonal Brahman. Any more than when Arjuna asked Krishna in the chapter 12, which is better, the worship of your impersonal feature or your personal feature? A very easy answer. Worship of personal feature is best. That's what is being recommended for Dhruva. And it's also what's being recommended for a Sakkama Bhakta. Sakkama means with desire. So Akama Sarvakamo Va Mokshakamo Udaradi Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Param. Second Canto Bhagavatam. If your Dhruva or facsimile of Dhruva, you have material desire, worship Krishna. If you have no material desire, worship Krishna. If you have desire for liberation, worship Krishna. It's one pill. Especially if that desire is beyond anything that a temporary and limited person can deliver. Hiranyakashipu, for example, he wanted immortality. So he did his austerities and was causing turmoil in the universe. And so Brahma came, what's the benediction that you're wanting? I want immortality. And Brahma's reply is, I can't give you immortality. I don't have it myself. How can I give you immortality? I also have to die. But because he was a demon, he didn't take no for an answer. It was, okay, let me exercise my cleverness. Let me not die inside or outside. Sure. Let me not die during the day or the night. Certainly. Okay, let's see what else. Let me not die by any man-made weapon or any beast or any demigod. No problem. What else would you like? So he was cleverly trying to, like, you know, work it out so that he could get immortality. But as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I'm the cheater amongst cheaters. I am something cheat. I'm the best cheater. He cheated Hiranyakashipu because, okay, checkmate. Half man, half lion. Not man or beast or demigod. And just as the sun was setting at dusk, so it's not day or it's not night, it's not inside or outside, on the veranda, right at the threshold between inside and outside, etc. So, demigods can't give immortality, and the planet which Dhruva wanted to preside over was one that's not created. So he was, literally, he was giving him the means to achieve that. But before, he examined the quality of Dhruva and saw he has the quality. He's got this, you know, thing, this material desire, but he has the quality because devotional service is purifying. It will relieve him of that quality, which is necessary in order to get the eternal. You can't take your dirty laundry with you into the spiritual world. You can't take your stuff with you. You have to leave it behind. But the process of devotional service can cleanse one of those impurities. Couple other things. Narada, in both the verse on the board, Bhagavan Naradastata, but also in text 40, Bhagavan Vasudevastam. Narada is being referred to as Bhagavan, both by Maitreya and as Narada is speaking. So, that is, because he is the, we'll go back. Commonly, Prabhupada would say, this term Bhagavan is appropriate only for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's like standard. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha is the Supreme Personality of Godhead said. Because there isn't more than one. There's one. Bhagavan, Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the devotee may act on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in such a manner that what he is able to do is the same thing the Supreme Lord can do. In fact, Narada is in that classification of Shaktyavesh Avatar. What's the meaning? Shaktyavesh Avatar? Bhakti Pat? Yes, an empowered incarnation. And the specific empowerment that Narada has is he's the bearer of the Lord's Bhakti Shakti. The Kumaras, They're the bearers of the Lord's Gyan Shakti, knowledge potency. Or Prithu Maharaj, he's an incarnation, and he's the bearer of the Lord's Palana Shakti, or his ruling potency. Brahma, Lord Brahma, is the bearer of the Lord's creative potency, Srishti Shakti. Narada is the bearer of the Lord's Bhakti Shakti, and boy, does he have it. He just distributes bhakti all over the place. And he's an empowered person to do that, because you can't do it without being empowered. Certainly not like Narada. So he's addressed as Bhagavan. And what he wants to give is bhakti. But there's more than one way to give bhakti. Narada is very expert. He's not only empowered to give, he's very, very expert in how to best give. So he gives in this way, this time, and that way, that. Just like the how Narada made converted Valmiki from a dacoit to a sadhu. Do you know how that one happened? Okay. Yeah. He had a name before he was Valmiki. Yeah. There was a dacoit. His program was, he would wait within the limbs of a big tree, kind of hide out there, and as people would pass by, he would pounce on them and plunder them. Whatever they had, he would steal it. So, this is a nice story. Narada, and who was the sage that was with him? Some other sage. Some sage was with him. And they had just received this instruction that the Supreme Personality of Godhead will appear, and his name will be so powerful that it can deliver even the most fallen person. And Narada was thinking, let's try this out. And just as that happened, the dacoit dropped from the tree and captured Narada and the other sage that he was with. And Narada saying, I'm a sage. I don't even, no bakshish. I don't have anything. Do you know that you're going to have a big reaction for this occupation you have of plundering people? And why are you doing this? Well, I have to maintain my family. Well, tell you what, why don't you go ask your family if they're prepared to share in the karmic reaction for your plundering? Go ahead and ask them. He said, you're just trying to trick me. You're trying to get rid of me so you can run away. He said, no, let's just stay here, right here by the tree. We promise you, we'll hear when you come back. So he went to ask his family, and they said, no way, we're not going to share in the karmic reaction for your plundering and thieving and stealing and murdering. No way. So he was very surprised to receive that response, so he came back to Narada and said, they said, no, what am I to do? He said, well, I have just the thing, the name of Ram. Go ahead, say it. And it wouldn't come out. Because he was so impious, he couldn't say Rama. He said, okay, why don't you say Mara, which means death. You can say death, right? Yeah, I can say death. Mara, 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 Mara. So just keep saying that. And as he went on, Mara became Rama. So it was a very clever way to make a dacoit become purified. Haridas Thakur, in his arrangement to have the prostitute that was sent by Ramchandra Khan to have Haridas fall down in the dead of night. Boy, was that a clever arrangement. Just sit and listen. I have to finish my japa. And in three evenings, she became completely purified, just hearing Haridas Thakur's chanting. And he told her, I knew that what you came for, but I just wanted to show some mercy upon you. Now, you stay here, and you can chant. I'm going to leave. He left. She became a great devotee. Just from hearing Haridas Thakur's chanting, with very evil intention in her heart. So, how to deliver bhakti may be very, very different in different circumstances. Magari, the hunter, so many different circumstances. Narada's expert, really expert. He really wanted to deliver daksha too. Daksha was a really hard case. Tough guy. But Narada showed his compassion on daksha also. Here he's showing his compassion upon Dhruva, and the focus of the narration is Dhruva's material desire. So it's the Tivrena Bhakti Yogena program that Narada is going to give. He's going to give him the details of how to practice bhakti, but very intensely perform, because when bhakti is very intensely performed, even material desire of the greatest order is dissolved. It doesn't start from that position, but it gets to that position because the process of devotional service, and specifically the Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya mantra that he received from Narada, is as powerful as Krishna is. As the sun in this universe is so powerful that in contact with any contaminated place, the contaminated place becomes purified by contact with the sun. So it doesn't matter how contaminated. It's more difficult for those that are very contaminated. But nonetheless, the power of Krishna's holy name is such that anyone can become purified. You know, the well-wishing of the devotee is necessary too. It's not just it helps, it's necessary. Jagai Madhai, receive the mercy of Nityananda and Haridas Thakur. So they became delivered as well through receiving mercy. So Narada's getting that mercy. Excuse me. Dhruva's getting that mercy, the mercy of Narada. And so he's called Bhagavan. Specifically, Prabhupada says, Narada could have given the planet, because if Krishna so desired, the pure devotee can accomplish anything that Krishna can accomplish. But that's not the duty of the spiritual master, Prabhupada's writing. It's to engage one in the regulative practices of bhakti so that one can come to that stage. Narada has such a capacity. Just give mercy. Don't worry about sadhana. Just, you know, go to the spiritual world. But he didn't do that. He engaged him in the practices of austerity and chanting and a spiritual residence and so forth. Everything that he needed. That's the duty of the spiritual master, and the duty of the disciple is to accept those things and apply themselves to those things. And the spiritual situation can be regained. Narada Muni asked Dhruva Maharaj to undergo devotional service, devotional discipline, in order to achieve the desired result. The desired result in a purified state was attained, and in that purified state he became free from his material attraction. It's like Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. Narada delivered Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, the sons of Kuvera who were shamelessly naked and intoxicated in a sacred river, with sporting with naked women, shamelessly intoxicated. The end result was they returned to that position pure. No longer, so now still in the heavenly realm, back to that position, but without any material desire, no material attraction, completely pure. That's Narada. They had a little interlude in between, life as a tree for a while, and then Krishna's mercy delivered them. Just by Narada's say-so. So by Narada's say-so, there's not some independent capacity, it's the mercy of Krishna through that instrument of Krishna. Krishna's mercy can come and accomplish anything. According to, so it's always for the ultimate interest of the living being, not just a temporal interest, the ultimate interest of the living being. Even if some temporal interest is addressed, the ultimate interest of the living entity is the object, the focus of Narada Muni or the followers of Narada Muni, always. Okay. Any questions? Back in the corner.
Maharaj, I was thinking with, like you were saying, it doesn't matter the intensity of the material desire. One practices devotional service very intensely, that can be cleansed. So, I'm wondering if you can help me understand then what is the place for alternative healing methods that are practiced by some persons, and
what's the place for
alternative healing methods that are practiced by some devotees, and what are the appropriate circumstances for those versus just intensifying one sadhana program?
I didn't get it. Alternative healing methods. When Raghunath Das Goswami was able to sustain his life on a palmful of buttermilk every other day. If one is on the platform of bhakti of Raghunath Das Goswami, one can sustain one's life. Prabhupada comments, he was being sustained by spiritual energy. If one is on such a platform, one doesn't need to eat anything more than a palmful of buttermilk every other day. For the rest of us that aren't on that platform, we may need to take prasadam, you know, a couple few times a day. So like, you know, I'm doing this little health thing, and this fellow did my pulse reading and said, your constitution, blah, 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 you should eat, you know, a little bit a few times a day. That would be best for your health, you know, based on what's going on over here. So now what do I do? I may take that medical advice and so on. Otherwise, you know, Prabhupada also says yogis survive simply on milk. It's such a nutritious food, and just take milk. Or, so according to one's, if one has the capacity, all one needs is the pure holy name. Supposing I don't have that capacity, now what do I do? So if one finds oneself we were in Vrindavan for Yatra this past time, and the driver that was taking Bhakti Chaitanya Swami and myself and a couple other people in the car, he was the lead driver, he knew all the shortcuts. So we were going to a particular place that he knew a shortcut. But he forgot that there had been a lot of rain. So we went that shortcut, and it was all muddy. And he got stuck in the mud. Oh, was he embarrassed. The Swami stuck in the mud. So what did he do? And the wheels spinning, mud flying all over the place. So what did the Swamis do? Swamis got out of the car and walked. But before we got out of the car and walked, the Swamis, you know, got some stones, put the stones under the wheel so that the car can get out of the mud. But sometimes people get like that car that's stuck in the mud. They just spin their wheels and spin their wheels and spin their wheels and spin their wheels, and they're chanting and they're just spinning their wheels because there's some emotional thing that's stuck. And we, you know, rocking back and, you know, trying this and that, and we're stuck. The more you do that, the more the wheels go down in the mud. The more you're stuck. So alternative healing modalities are something like that. You know, putting some rocks under the wheels when you're stuck. It's just to assist the process of forward motion. It's very much secondary, but it may be helpful when you're stuck. It's not primary, but it may be helpful. Now, if one has sufficient faith, then one can, and one may need that little extra help. That's the role. It's an assist. In some cases, it's useful. Some cases, it's not needed. Anyone else? Nityananda Prabhu?
This might sound like a statement, but I'm saying it to seek some more clarity. So Dhruva Maharaj, a young boy with such strong material desires, but it seems like his receptivity to Narada's instruction is
pretty weak.
Did you say weak?
Weak.
Weak. But still he got the spiritual planet.
Yeah. Narada's very powerful.
So I'm trying to see from our perspective, you have material desires, you have powerful instructions. So we also spoke on receiving and
yes,
throughout the festival of Holy Name.
Yeah.
So it's there. It's not all gelled in for my in my thought. Could you help me put it all together, if you don't mind?
It's keep it real simple. Mm-hmm. And those same two points that I mentioned yesterday. The as far as his relationship with Narada is concerned, it was after receiving the instructions which we're just now going to hear, something happened. Not only he's recognizing Narada, you can do it. It was, you did it. You gave me the means. He was feeling very sincere gratitude. That carried him beyond, which was the intention. And that was what allowed him to receive not just, you know, the means to get what he wanted, but the means to get what Narada wanted to give him. It's gratitude is a huge principle. It may be, you know, starting little, but it grew. He's very grateful to Narada. That's the receptivity factor. Okay? Jai Jagannath, you had something? You gonna pass? Okay. Anyone? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
When you were reading the translation, you read that Narada was pleased. So, like,
Narada was
pleased.
Pleased, yeah.
I didn't understand, like.
Why?
Yeah. It looks like Dhruva just said, I'm not going to follow your instruction. But is it because he passed the test of his testing the determination?
Is it because, what's the option you're giving me?
No, because Dhruva passed the test of...
To pass the test?
Of Narada, because Narada was testing his determination. And
Prabhupada gives the following example. Certain persons are empowered by Krishna to do certain things. He gives the example of an auto mechanic and he gives the example of a judge. An auto mechanic, you know, you got a problem, your car won't start. You lift up the hood, you look in under the hood, you don't know what the problem is. The auto mechanic comes along, he looks under the hood and just jiggles a little wire and zoom, zoom, the car starts. Wow. But he's trained, or he's empowered to do that. Or Prabhupada gives the example of a judge. The judge is empowered, a qualified judge is empowered to understand a situation without all the rigmarole of lawyers. He understands very quickly what the situation is, a qualified person, because he's empowered. Or another example is a teacher, qualified teacher, in Vedic tradition, has to understand the quality of the child so that he can engage occupational training or provide occupational training along with character training, particular occupational training for a particular child so that in their adult life they can live their adult life fulfilling their propensity. It's just a gift that a good teacher has or a good judge has or a good auto mechanic has, etc. So, somebody like Narada, he's gifted. He could understand the quality, although he's, you know, throwing this little boy tantrum, he understands his quality. He's very pleased. He can see beyond, you know, the defiance, because he's qualified. He's empowered. He's very pleased. You're a qualified candidate. And that empowerment comes from the powerful, from Krishna. And so each one of us has something that Krishna's given us and it's our task or our duty, our service in life, to use that something, and we use it conscientiously, and it becomes better. You become better at that something. Same applies for us. You know, we're enjoined to do two things: to take the mercy and to give it to others. And the more we practice receiving the mercy and practice giving it to others, we become better at receiving the mercy and giving it to others. And then somebody might go, "Wow!" And we're not thinking, "Wow," we're thinking, this, you know, little speck that's trying to follow the instructions of my spiritual master. But by that operative sincerity, the empowerment magnifies, amplifies, grows. So by expressing like that, it's not like, okay, Narada can do that, and I'm a nobody. We're not a nobody, we're a somebody. And we have some service. Receive and give to others. So, take that service. Receive and give to others, and something starts to happen. And then some capacity to discern what we couldn't see before starts to come. Now, where's that coming from? From Krishna. So we should follow in the footsteps of such personalities. Anything else? Okay. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jāya.